Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
When the team works, the dream works. And we got a good team, right? In fact, out at Rural Palm today, Pastor Rhea is out there. Come on, give it up for Pastor Rhea, Earth City. Earth City's wondering where she is. We needed to bring her back down to Florida this weekend because Byron and Kyla had their baby, as in Kyla had the baby. Byron had very little to do with it. And then Austin went to his family. Got together and they took them to the LSU game last night. I don't know if they won or lost, but they went. And if you want to get in with Austin and Morgan, you just do everything LSU. By the way, our daughter-in-law Nicole went down there. That's how we met her. Nicole went to preach there, and she was the anchor woman for Tiger TV and the producer. And Nicole fell in love with her, brought her back. Then Austin fell in love with her, and now we have a grandbaby. Come on, somebody, give it up for that. How that works. So today, we're going to talk about getting smart with your money. Everybody shout, getting smart with your money. And I want to kind of give you a little bit of setup. First of all, my dad was a cop, so he didn't have a lot of money. He sold everything he owned, which was really nothing, bought a travel trailer. We moved in it. I was homeschooled at 4 years old. In that travel trailer, he went around and he was broke as a joke. He was too poor to pay attention. We didn't have any health insurance. We didn't have any money. Sometimes we would eat air bologna. My dad didn't know anything about money. So if you don't know much about money, how many of y'all know you don't know what to do when you get money? Oftentimes, money is not the problem. Money is not the issue. How to deal with money is the issue. So my dad, long story short, started reading the Bible, come to find out, two-thirds of all the parables of the Bible are dealing with money because God knew you were going to need some money. Anybody in here wake up to alarm clock because you need money? Anybody in here ever think about, I need more money? Y'all lying. If you don't raise your hand, I want to see you today, and I need you to write a check for the church, a big one, because you got money, right? So money, though, people have confusion about money. My dad did as well, thinking that God wants to keep you. This is something they said in the church. God wants to keep you poor and keep you out of pride. So they would say stuff like, anybody ever heard this? I'm poor, but I'm proud. Raise your hand. Well, God wants to deliver you from both of those. I'm poor, but I'm proud. A little six-year-old just raised his hand. I think he's just having fun right now. Probably ain't never heard that. He's like, I just heard it. Come on, I heard you say it right now. Right? Get smart. Proverbs 11, let's go there, verse 24. It says, one gives freely yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should, and he suffers from want. Galatians 6:10 says, therefore, we have an opportunity. If we have an opportunity, let us be good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. So God wants you to understand the difference between being broke and being blessed. And blessed people, when they're blessed, they do great things. Think about all the great things we do from at the end of the day. We're going to show you some things like buying cars for people and having ambulances in third world countries and helping build hospitals and building wells and churches all over the world. Your generosity has done that. Now, the enemy wants to keep you broke, because if he can keep you in poverty and all you're thinking about is money, then usually when you need money the most, you can write this down, you'll have it the least. That's why Dave Ramsey, you should go to the University of Google and check it out. I agree with a lot of what he says. And one of the things he says is that, you know, what you need to do is you need to do what nobody else does so you can live like nobody else lives. He talks about having an emergency fund. Couldn't agree with it more. It's all good stuff. Basically, what we need to do is be aware that God wants us to have money, but he wants us to be smart with money. Now, being unsmart with money is we live in a culture of materialism. Anybody ever notice that right here? It's like, hey, I got a Louis bag. You know, you don't even have an apartment, but you got a Louis bag, right? There are people here in St. Louis, I promise you, they're just not, right? So we buy things we don't really need with money, credit cards, that we owe on to impress people we don't even know. We just need the like on Instagram. And so I want you to remember that God doesn't have a problem with you being rich. He just wants you to be smart. So today, in the spirit of generosity, I wrote a book, and I want to give it to you today. It's in the lobbies at all the campuses, and I'm not going to charge you. I don't need the money. I printed this book. I don't want to give it to you. That's how much I care about you understanding what money can do. That if there's a way to be a dollar behind, there's a way to get smart and be a dollar ahead. There's a guy at our church. He texted me this week, and he heard the sermon and knew what I was going to talk about. And he said, by the way, this year, I began to pay extra principal payments, which, by the way, is found here in page 55 in my book. And I beat bankers out of their own game. And this year, by paying extra principal payments, I saved $430,000 in interest. That's a whole lot of money. And so I explained that. So the Bible has a lot to say about this journey of money. And my dad, again, he didn't know anything. He didn't know anything about wealth, and he didn't know anything about health. Even when he died, he didn't know anything about health, but he knew a little bit about wealth. But I want you to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, and these are the kind of things that you learn, especially young people. Listen to me. Don't be foolish with money. And back in the day, there's a bunch of older people in our crowds today, and they'll probably vouch for me on this. First of all, we had cords on our telephone. Raise your hand if you knew about that. Secondly, there were only 3 channels on TV. Raise your hand. If the president was on, you were screwed. That's all. And by the way, all these went off at like 2 a.m., right? And they play the, oh, say, can you? I'm not ready to go to bed. By the dawn's early light and the rockets. Every channel, it was the same stuff, okay? They also had a checkbook, which is this thing that you write checks with, and they had, on the back of it, it had a ledger, okay? And you would look at the ledger, and you would say, oh, I wrote a check for $494, and now my balance is, I only got $28 left in the checkbook. Anybody familiar with this? Now, most young people don't know, and that's not a bad thing, but it can be a bad thing, because if you don't understand how to track your money will run off by itself. And how many like me, and sometimes your money ran off, and you're like, I don't even know where she is. Anybody ever got a credit card bill, and you're like, $1,800, somebody, I can't wait to call them and report fraud. You started looking, you're like, yeah, it was me at Starbucks, it was me at Smoothie King, it was me at Jimmy John's, it was me. Anybody ever done that? You still wanted to call and say, what if they had cameras? It wasn't me. So what I want to do is in the book, I actually have back here on page 80, actually put out a budget for you. I list every possible thing that you could have going on, like rent and mortgage. My daughter doesn't know anything about that. She lives free. Property taxes. Again, she knows nothing about that. Home insurance. Nothing about that. Electricity. Every line in the house is on. Come on, go with me right now. Do you feel like your life is going around flipping off light switches? Raise your hand. If you pay the bill, you know the thrill, right? Light, 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 light. Who left it on? Anybody ever see people make the trash? You put the trash in there as well, but they put in more than you do. Then you end up taking the trash out, and you put the bag back in the trash, and you bought the bag. Raise your hand if it's you today. If you didn't raise your hand, you're blessed. God love you. You are blessed, blessed, blessed. I talk about medical expenses, dental procedures, groceries, dining out. See, there's certain things that we can do, and again, in the book, I want to give it to you, one per family, to go out and get it. This will change your life. So it's like a lot of times we pray, oh God, help me win the lottery. Well, that's bad if you don't play the lottery, right? Oh God, please have my rich uncle die. I really do love him, but I know I'm in the will. These are prayers that I think people pray. So God created money, and people say that money is the root of all evil, and money is not the root of all evil. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Come on, St. Louis, you know what I'm saying? So you can love money and not have any money. Money's just neutral. It's neither good nor bad. It's neutral. It'll buy crack cocaine. It'll go and help missionaries. It just does whatever you want. So God created money to help people. By the way, 80% of the people in the world today live on less than $10 a day. 80% of the world today live on less than $10 a day. 70 million people live on less than $2 million a day. So there's a lot of poverty in the world, and if you travel globally, you will see this. We still live in the greatest country of the whole wide world, the United States of America. But we need to stick together on some things and realize on our money, it still says, in God we trust. And if you take God out of the country, take God out of the school, wherever you take God out of, you invite the devil in. So I'm inviting you today to invite God into your checkbook, into your money, so he can bless you. Come on, every campus, give God some praise. Now, money only magnifies who you really are. And you ought to write that down. Money magnifies who you are. If you're generous, you'll be more generous. If you're tight, you'll be more tight. I read a study this last week about Monopoly, and they did a real study, and they randomly picked a couple of people, and they put these two players in this rigged game of Monopoly, and every time they would go past go, they collected twice the money, they rolled twice the dice, they quickly became super rich. They're owning the hotels, they're owning the everything on there, and they watched a difference emerge. They said that for real, when the players started winning, the winners started hitting the board going, "I'm rich, I'm gonna own you, I'm unstoppable." And then at the end, how many of y'all know, at the end they interviewed these people and they said, you know, "Hey, how did you become such a great winner?" And they're like, "I'm really good at math. I'm really good at strategic moves. Just really good." Okay, I think sometimes we can make fun of that, but I think the same thing is set. The system has been rigged for you and I to win, and we go, "I'm really smart. God really blessed me with a great brain." At the end of the day, God is the one that rigged the system so that you could be anointed, have the opportunity, make advancement. Come on, somebody ought to shout amen. And when God does it, it's not fake money. At the end, when they were slapping, how many of y'all know, it's still Monopoly money. You can't spend it nowhere, fool. By the way, Monopoly, have you ever played it? It's the longest game in the world. If you ever go to prison, take that game with you. So God wants you to have a good relationship with money. And if you worry about money all the time, or you're thinking about money all the time, it's a good chance that you have a wrong relationship with money. Now, Luke 12, verse 33, here's what Jesus said. "Sell all your possessions, give it to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will never fail, where the thief does not come near and moth does not destroy." Watch this. "For where your treasure is, your heart will be also." Now, what God is not saying is, you misinterpret this and say, God wants me to sell everything I own. No. See, the problem is a lot of times people have stuff, but actually they don't have stuff. Stuff has them. So you don't have a Porsche. A Porsche has you. You don't have a home in Tahiti. The home in Tahiti has you. You don't have... You get so upset. This joke just popped in my mind, so we're going to go with it. It's not rehearsed, but it's in a file back there somewhere. I'm going to pull it out because it went there. So this attorney's driving down the road. Come on, it's good already, right? Driving down the road, his new Porsche, absolutely beautiful. And somebody comes by him really fast, and it throws a rock on the side. He freaks out. He looks over. It's dented. He pulls up, and he looks out, and he starts screaming, "Oh, my gosh, there's a scratch on my Porsche." About that time, a car comes, and it's this cop. And this cop sits there and starts yelling at him and said, "What in the world are you doing, man? You're on the side of the highway. You opened up your door, and a truck just hit it and knocked the door off. In fact, your arm is gone." And he goes, "My Rolex!" Wasn't quite right, but it was close since I just pulled it up. Joel Osteen reads his jokes. He cheats. Mine float up, and we go with them. Materialistic thinking leads to narcissistic behavior. And it's where your joy goes and your health goes, because now you're not solving the money problem. Actually, you're just creating more, because your treasure should be in heaven. Now, when you have a right relationship with money, you'll want to do great things with your money. Today at all the campuses, wherever you're at Royal Palm, West Palm, I don't even know, Earth City, Ferguson, Weldon, soon to be Fairview Heights. All of those things had to have a signature with good credit. Mm-hmm. The signature with good credit, when I laid down in bed last night, I owed $16 million, okay? I don't know it, the church owes it, but if the church goes belly up, they actually come for me. The good news is, I don't even have $16 million, so the bank lays it at night worried about my blood, my health, my wealth. What I'm saying is because my dad taught me how to have good credit, then it allowed me to lay up treasures in heaven. Mm-hmm. Because I never tried to amass wealth. I tried to use wealth and my credit to help God. So whatever campus you're at today, at some point I signed my name to something to say, we're going for this and we're going hard on this and we're moving forward. And when I get to heaven, God's not gonna look at me and go, hey, you amassed a bunch of wealth and you hid a bunch of wealth. No, he's not gonna say, you wicked, twisted servant. He's gonna say, hopefully, well done, that good and faithful servant, because I had a good relationship with money. In other words, I used what was in my hand to do what was on God's heart.
Right, right.
Now, you think I'm not scared every time I sign up to millions of dollars? You don't think I'm even thinking about Fairview Heights, which isn't open yet? We've owned it, and now it's like we got it from $9 million to $6 million to fix it up. You don't think I don't think about that? You're dang right I think about that, but where God guides, he provides. So I have to switch over to faith and go, I'm going to do everything I can do. God's going to do what I can't do, and he's going to raise up some people at our church to become wealthy. I'm counting on some of these young guys to get some big deals playing ball. Come on, somebody ought to help me. I'm expecting one of the cats at our church to go back and say, I was little and we didn't have any money and you gave me a balloon and you kept speaking over to me and now I'm the whatever. I don't even follow sports, but I'll learn, okay? So I am telling you that God requires you to be faithful over what you have. And maybe even now, you're like, man, where my treasure is, my heart will be also. And my treasure really is about me. Mm-hmm. And it's about my stuff. And again, I'm not trying to counterbalance this and make you wrestle with the fact that God has an attitude towards you in being wealthy, because he doesn't. He doesn't mind you being wealthy. He wants your wealth to establish the kingdom. Remember this? John, in the book of John, he said this. He said, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. So prosper and be in health. By the way, you can be prosperous and not have health. That's not total prosperity. That you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Every campus shout, soul prospers. Real loud and strong. What? Your soul. So your mind, your will, and emotions have to prosper. So what do you need to do? You need to learn about money. How do you learn about money? Well, first of all, we're teaching it right now, and I'm going to give you the book. Secondly, you can go to the University of Google and start finding out what other people talk about money. Now, I'm not saying about get rich quick. Like, I found this guy, and you sell Vita Vita Vegemin. I gave him all my money, took out a home loan, and we're going to be rich. No, if it sounds too good to be true, it's usually too good to be true. The fastest way to double your money is to fold it up, put it back in your pocket. So be smart, but be an investor, and be an investor led by the Spirit of God. In other words, I'm telling you, you're going to be at the right place at the right time. God is going to open up the doors in 24, an open door in 24. Shout that with me, an open door in 24. So if we'll prepare right now with what's in our hand, God will open up opportunities. And I'm telling you, there's a day coming when the American dream, and some of you don't know this, used to be to own a home. Now everybody rents. I'm all cool with Grant Cardone. He's like, nobody, you know, don't be buying a house, you know, rent. Don't be buying a house, rent. You know the guy owns over $1 billion in rental property? Of course he doesn't want you to own your own home. Come on, go with me on this, because you rent off him. Do the math, people. Okay. God said he would give you houses that you did not build. He would give you lands that you did not toil over. I'm expecting great breakthrough in the lives of the people who say, I'm going to do everything I can do, and God's going to do. Come on, somebody. What I cannot do. Now, the writer of Hebrews teaches this. He says this. He says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. The love of money can really mess you up. So teach yourself generosity. And I want you to write this down if you're a note taker. My dad taught me this a long time ago. He liked Corvettes. His buddies liked Porsches and Ferraris. He said, I will never allow my happiness to be in somebody else's head. I like Corvettes. When he died, he had 7 Corvettes, not 1 Porsche. I'd never even ridden in a Porsche because I never had access to it until I got older. But I love that line, never let your happiness be in somebody else's head. Just because they say, they, that you should wear this tennis shoes, just because they say you should have this phone, just because they, first of all, we don't even know who they are. Come on, go with me on this. Anybody ever said, I hear it all the time. They don't like your sermon. They don't like your dress. And I ask, who are they? Tell me. Come to find out, they is them. It's always them. They thought I preached too long. They didn't like the way I dress, okay? So the Bible said, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because here's what I've noticed about our church. I get the ability to speak to people at our church that make $1 million a week in salary. Every 7 days, they get a check for a million. And then I get people that get a check for a thousand. And I watch how people behave when they come in contact with money and blessing. And again, money only magnifies what you already are. But I have noticed this, that people that make 50,000 always say, I don't have enough. And I would agree, 50,000 is really hard. Then I watch people that make 150,000 and they're crying at the same level as the person who makes 50. And then if I ask the person that has 50, if you made another 100, would it solve your problem? And they go, oh, you have no idea. And I think, no, it must. I don't think it'll solve the problem because this person's crying that they make 150. It goes back to spending, investing, and budgeting. A budget's something that you got to have, and I hate it, but you have to have a budget, and you can't budge from the budget. Again, St. Louis, they're still here. They didn't leave. They're just quiet right now. But again, to get something you've never gotten, you've got to do something that you've never done. Paul says this. He said, the writer of two-thirds of the New Testament, he said, you brought nothing into this world and you can take nothing out of this world. Mm-hmm. Last night at 11:50, Kyla, one of our worship pastors, she had a baby. When the baby came out, the baby did not come with bags. Eyelashes. Come on, somebody. Toys. It came out and the baby was naked, was doing this, and a doctor slapped it and it, and then they cleaned it up and they brought it home. For the record, that's the way you were born. You were born with nothing but people slapping you from the time you got here. Come on, somebody, right now. Raise your hand. Been slapped too many times. So we brought nothing in and we'll take nothing out. So really, the only thing that really matters is what we do for God's kingdom, as in helping our fellow man. The Bible said, he summed up the whole Bible. I told you this last week. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. And to love your neighbor as yourself. So every week when we give, we don't just give to this church, we give through this church because 10% at least of the income goes out to help other missionaries and missions and Convoy of Hope. And usually when something happens, a catastrophe, the groups that the church are involved with get there before the federal government gets there. In fact, most of the time, 9 out of 10 times, we, the church, beat the government because we have the speed with no bureaucracy. Come on, give it up for your generosity and getting it. Am I helping anybody? Raise your hand if you're liking this. Come on, every campus, all right? Watch this. 1 Timothy 6. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptations and into a snare, and many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all evil. So when you desire to be rich, sometimes you just focus on the wrong thing. Now, I'm in Palm Beach County right now, and this is one of the most materialistic places in the world. No harm, no problem with that. But there's like Ferraris down here and Lamborghinis and McLarens are like minivans at the Walmart in St. Louis, okay? They're just everywhere. Am I telling the truth right now? And so you can walk around and go to the mall and be like, man, I wish I had that. Oh, I wish I had this. It's opulence all over the place. But the Bible said, hey, caution, beware. Because if you're not content with what you have, it'll lead you down harmful desires. Get rich quick schemes. Maybe there's another way. Maybe if I marry them. Maybe if my uncle. No. There's only one way to really do it right. And the Bible said this in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Say amen to that right now. It said all these things, housing, bling, bling, cha-ching, cha-ching, would be added unto you. Come on, who am I talking to today? But have you ever thought, God's taking too long, I'm going to add it to myself, and you swiped it? Yeah. God's going to add it to you. The Bible said with blessing comes persecution. But he also said that many times what happens with people is they get overwhelmed and choked out with the desires and lust for other things. Let's talk about Starbucks. Put up the slide of Starbucks just to impress everybody a little bit more of this sermon. If you remember, we had so much fun at the beginning. Remember that? We were singing and we had you going and clapping. And now you're like, now I'm slapping the coffee right out of your hand. Here we go. So in 1 year, you'd have enough to buy the brand new iPhone just with just one little black coffee there. You could pay off a 30-year mortgage 7.7 years faster if you stayed away from that latte. These are things that happen. Now, I'm not against Starbucks. You're going to see me there. You know why? Because our church, we have people at our church that just give me cards like crazy. They give me cards. Here's another Starbucks card. And I have an app. And I actually even had a guy steal some cards. And I didn't even know. It was like I had a Judas stealing out of my bag. And I didn't even know that it was happening right now. So God bless me. But I'm not going to use my own money. I have a thing called a coffee maker at the house. Okay? And what you do is you put the coffee... I'll explain it to you later. But there's a cheaper way to do it. Okay? And I'm not against you doing that. I realize you want the camaraderie. So go there, buy a coffee one time. In the cup, write your name on it, whatever you want, Big Daddy. Fill it up at home, go to Starbucks, sit down, and enjoy the camaraderie of the other suckers who paid $5. You're like, I got 38 cents, call me Big Daddy. This is how we do it. See what I'm saying? It's not that you can't go have fun, you just need to be smarter than the next guy, because if not, you'll be oppressed and poor your whole life. And the Bible said in Proverbs 29:13. You poor man and the oppressor, they meet together, and the Lord gives life to both of them. In other words, God gives light to Bill Gates, who signed a pledge, by the way, with a bunch of other billionaires, that he would give away a bunch of his money, and he certainly did that. I don't necessarily agree with where he gave it, because he takes it out of the kingdom. The most important thing you can ever do with your life is help people. But one of the ways you help people is if you give children water that are dying of thirst, that's important. Yeah. But you also have to teach them about Jesus, because if they die the next day of malnourishment, they wouldn't know God, or an adult wouldn't know God. I'm not getting into all the details of the justice of God and the mercy of God and the way I see it. All I'm saying is what you want is not just an ROI, business people. You want an EROI. You want eternal return on investment. So when you get to heaven, because you can't take your lashes with you, come on. And by the way, the people that are putting 9-foot lashes on the front of your cars, girls, quit it. It's just too much. Come on, go with me on this. Anybody ever seen this? You're like, that girl desperate right now. That girl thirsty. Go with me on this right now. It's like too much. Strip them off. The real ones on you, great, but your car doesn't need to do this on the way. Come on, raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. A lot of people don't know, but I'm just telling you. I'm pastoring everybody at one time. Help me help you, okay? Somebody needed to tell you. Okay, we're almost done. Somebody said, thank you, Jesus. I said, I'm almost done. She said, thank you, Jesus. My God, how much more? No. All right. Now, when Jesus gets in your boat, it makes a difference. Let's just go there real quick. Luke 5, verse 4. Jesus gets you in your business. Jesus gets you in your checkbook. Jesus gets you in your finances. When he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. Now, what was going on here is he was a professional fisherman. They'd been all night, and they didn't catch anything. They came back in. They saw Jesus. Jesus said, hey, go out with me this time. Mm-hmm. When you go out with me and you have Jesus in your boat, it'll make a difference. They went out to the same lake in the same boat with the same people and had complete different results. In fact, Jesus even, I think, for a play, he said, hey, throw your nets on this side this time. Well, it really doesn't matter. It's this side or this side. It's like marking an X on your boat when you're fishing and say, this is the honey hole. How many of y'all know you move the boat? Go with me on this. Okay, so Jesus says, throw it out. And all of a sudden now the Bible says they received a net-breaking, ship-sinking load. In other words, God said, I'm able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ever ask, think, or imagine, according to the power that works on the inside of you. Somebody ought to go with me right now. I'm saying that God is getting ready to bring the supernatural into your life, and I prophesy an open door in 24. And if you'll get ready today, there will be a better tomorrow, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's no respecter of persons. What he's done for me, he's going to do for you. And guess what? It's getting ready to pop. Come on, give God praise today. Stand up everywhere and just clap your hands. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Yeah, yeah, there is power, power, oh, wonder-working power in the precious blood. Nobody leave it. Sing it again. There is power. There is
power.
Power.
Wonder-working power.
In the blood.
In the blood.
Of the Lamb.
There is power.
anything. Come on, Sunset. Come on, raise your hand if you learned something. Look at your neighbor and say, I knew most of it, but I did write a couple things down. I'm believing that God is going to raise you up, bring you out, give you clout, without a doubt. Make you shout. You will. But when I think about everything that God's done for me, I'm just reporting. I mean, I just came from broke, man. And it just feels good. And I'm surprised every day when I get to be your pastor. I'm surprised that the bank keeps loaning us money. And I'm surprised that we keep reaching about 300,000 people, according to Nielsen, per week in St. Louis and Palm Beach through television. And we give the product away. And we don't ask for money. By the way, that's the difference between a TV preacher and a pastor who's on TV. A TV preacher is the guy who's like, right now, I want you to send a $1,000 vow. If you don't send a $1,000 vow for this holy oil, you might die today. And listen to those Shunammite women. I'm telling you right now, send a $1,000 vow. Yeah, that's a TV preacher. Don't like those guys? I like it to say, we don't want anything from you. We're putting your finger to this way. And so you put a ring on your finger, rub on your back. God's not mad at you. And you know how we do that? Through blessed people at the church who pay the bills. So I'm not sponsored by Anheuser-Busch, Pfizer, Lunesta, Hostess. Man, Hostess does sound great. I would go for that. Because I'm a ding-dong. Come on, somebody. But what I am saying is it's sponsored by people at our church who own businesses. By the way, a church alive is worth the drive. The information that you get at these services set you up to make you inquisitive, to ask better questions next week, to make you stronger financially. And for whatever you do, make sure you bring your kids here. I was thinking there's some people here that they own Jimmy John's, and that's why I shouted that out earlier, and Tropical Smoothie in St. Louis and here. And I saw their kids last time I was down here. I saw them in the hallway, and they said, I said, what are you guys doing? And they said, well, we're getting ready to go to Smoothie King, you know, or whatever it is. Not Smoothie King. Dang it. Tropical Smoothie. Smoothie King ain't never gave me nothing, but Tropical Smoothie is where my heart is. Come on, somebody ought to help me. And I said, where are you going? They said, we got to go to Tropical Smoothie. And I said, do you guys enjoy that? And they're like, oh, yeah, that's fine. And then they started talking about the drink that they invented, and it took off, and it was kind of cool. And they were interested. And I was thinking when I drove home that those kids probably are bored sometimes, probably don't want to go sometimes. But what they're learning about business, about entrepreneurship, about hiring and developing leaders, when they look back later in life, even if they go to college, they'll think, I learned more by my mom and dad watching what they do. My point is to you this. Bring your kids to church even when you don't go. Even if you backslide for like 3 months, you're like, I'm going to go play a fool. You tell them, I'll kill you until God you died if you backslide, don't go to church. These are true stories that I think you ought to have. You teach and train children the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart. I want you to get that book today. I want to give it to you. How many of y'all would like to have it? Raise your hand if you want to have it. Do you have this book? Do you have this one? Okay, I'll give this one to you right here. It's folded up real nicely, and there's two bent spots on there. I can't give you your money back because you didn't buy it, but in all lobbies, you go out there. But before I go, I want to pray for you. Actually, I want Nicole to come up here with me real quick. And here's what I want to pray. I want to pray that God does something supernatural, because if you take one step towards God, he'll take a bunch towards you. Everybody shout amen to that. And so there's certain things you do just by being around the people of God. Like, in fact, this Thursday at Earth City, we have the girl gang party. Nicole's going to preach there Thursday. Come on, Earth City. I think of the next week is here.
It's two weeks.
October 12th. But I will say this, that Nicole is very frugal. She's good with budgeting.
I'm cheap.
She's cheap. And I'm good at spending. Anybody good at spending? Raise your hand. So I'm the spender in our family. I'm also a man of faith, but I also like to spend. I do. And my daughter shares that gene as well.
It's two against one.
But I want us to pray right now, because the Bible said that one will put 1,000 to flight and two will put 10,000 to flight. And I want to pray for you that God will give you wisdom, even when you're reading my book, or you'll be led to a podcast, and you're going to start getting yourself in a financial position to start that business, to live that dream, to pay off that note. Because you don't need anybody but God. And God might use a person, but you're not looking to them. Right. You're looking to him. And I pray right now, yes, over every campus, over everybody around the world, God, that you would touch them with wisdom. God, you said if any man, any person lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And that's what they're asking today, that you'd give liberally to all men. God, you made some smart people in here. You made pilots and doctors and entrepreneurs and business investors and all of our other people who just serve as a great quality manager, God, at their organization. Let them rise up to the top. Let their bosses give them unexpected raises and promotions. And we won't say, hey, we're just going to spend the money. We're going to invest the money. We're going to get out of debt. Debt, the acronym, is doing everything but thinking. And from this moment forward, we're going to start thinking about what God has placed in our heart, in our hand, so we can change people's lives for the good. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen and amen. Hey, I want to watch this little blessing together. Be seated. We'll be out of here in a minute, but check this out.